participating in our devotional, and we're just so thankful to be here today. And as he was singing that song, when we all get to heaven, I was sitting there thinking about how glad I am that I live in the time in which I live, that I can be a part of the church that Jesus built, and that I can know that heaven will be my home and don't have to guess about it. I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to look at a familiar passage just briefly, just to get us into the mindset that we want to talk about this morning. And most of us have read or heard about a man named Naaman. And Brother Darren read the scripture this morning where it talks about he was a great man. He was a man of authority. He was an honorable man, a man that people respected. So in many ways, we would say that this man was on top of the world when it comes to living a life in this world of success. But he had one problem, and it was a big problem. The Bible said he was a leper. And if you study the Bible, you know that when one was a leper, that was pretty much a death sentence in the Old Testament, because there was no cure for the disease. Sometimes it would improve itself, but it would do terrible things to the human body, and ultimately death would occur. So he was a man that had perhaps everything you would want in this world, but he did not have his health. And we find that to be the case with a lot of people, even today. And so he was the captain of the Syrian army, which meant that they had gone and they had captured some of the Israelites, and he had a maid, a young girl that waited on him, that they had taken as a prisoner from Israel. And as she went in and waited on him and saw how sick he was, when she went out, she talked to her friends and people that associated with her and said that, "I wish to God that he would send for a prophet in Israel," because she understood the power that a man like Elijah had, a prophet, in the Old Testament. And of course, the message got to Naaman, and as you know the story, that Naaman did everything you would expect a person would do. He got money, got about $10,000 worth of money that he was going to pay whoever this person was. He got a letter written to the king of Israel to get everything worked out diplomatically so that he could come, he could get his body healed and begin to live his life again. Then if you look in verse 9, not going to spend a lot of time here, verse 8, "And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth or angry, and went away, and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Adnah and Pharah, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." So we notice that Naaman got to Elijah, and Elijah did not meet his expectations. And the remedy that Elijah gave him was not logical in his mind. And so Elijah told him to go dip in the Jordan River, which was noted for being a very dirty river. And he was saying that if it's dipping in water that's going to make me clean, well, I have better rivers than the Jordan. I thought he'd come out and wave his hand and make a big to-do, and he would speak, and then he would do this ceremony, and I would be clean. And so Naaman was angry, and he turned to go away. And you know the rest of the story. The little maid said unto him, well, if he had asked you to do some great thing, you would have done it. But now he said, go dip into Jordan, something real simple. But because it's not what you want to do, you don't want to do it. He's going away angry. So that resonated with Naaman. And so Naaman ultimately did what Elijah wanted him to do. He went and dipped into Jordan 7 times, and it was clean. But the point I want to emphasize this morning is that Naaman almost lost his life, almost did not become clean because he thought, or in other words, he was guessing about what he thought should happen. But as we know, if he had leaned upon his own guessing or his own thinking, he never would have been clean. And so today I have a subject that we're going to talk about. You know, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to religion, we never guess about it. We look it up. When you want to know something in religion, we don't guess when it comes to what God wants us to do. We always verify. We look it up and we make sure that we have it right. Now, you know, scientists rely on facts in most cases. You notice I said in most cases. So when it comes to evolution, they don't really have facts, they have theories that they go on and they use them to come to a conclusion that the world is millions and millions of years old. But we know that according to the Bible, we may be 6,000, 10,000 years old. So when you hear people talking about millions and billions of years, they are evolutionists. And the world today, in the educational world, they believe that if you don't believe in evolution, they say that but you're not scholarly. You know, you're not on the par with educated people because science has proven, but in reality, science doesn't have any facts. They don't have a missing link. It's all theories. And sometimes they thought they had a missing link to find out it wasn't even a human bone, it was a bone of a pig or something. They would use it to say it was a human bone. But my point is that science, good science, rely on facts before they come to conclusion. You know, when we were in high school earlier, they taught us the scientific process. I believe it was the first thing you have to do is define the problem. Then you have to state the hypothesis, test the hypothesis. Then you interpret the result, and then you report the conclusion. Those are the five scientific steps to solving a problem that we all learn. And pretty much, we know to do that if we want to figure out what's wrong. So when scientists try to come up with a remedy to a disease, they can't just go around guessing with people by giving them all kinds of chemicals and say, well, maybe this will help, maybe this will help, maybe that'll help. You know, drink some gas and you know, drink some antifreeze. All kinds of things people do. They don't do that. I mean, we would not deal with a science like that when it comes to a remedy. When we go to doctors rely on proven methods that is good doctors do. No one wants a doctor guessing on them. To come out and look at you is based on what I'm seeing in your eyes are really based on what they don't take a stethoscope, they don't take in the blood, they don't do anything. They just come out and guess based on what's going on with everybody else. You know, I think you have cancer, you know, something great. And you think you go get a second opinion quickly, right? You don't want him guessing on us. We don't want a surgeon operating on us using a chainsaw. We think right out, this man does not know proven medical process, and certainly I'm not going to let him operate on me using a chainsaw or virtual knife. And so, we function in society. When it comes to guessing, we function in society by law. You know, we won't guess what the law means and stay out of trouble very long. You guess whether you're following the law, you're going to be in trouble. And sometimes you get in trouble when you try to be right. When you just guess it, you're going to be in trouble. You can't guess the speed limit. We can't guess that, you know, Chevy Drive is very straight. And it's just so straight, I think I can drive 70 going down Chevy Drive. I don't see any problem with that. Maybe you don't. But you know what would happen if you practiced that in your driving. You would not have your driver's license very long because you get so many citations. And so there are just some things in life. We're just going through an introduction. We're going to get to the Bible in just a minute. But there are just some things in life that we simply do not want to guess about. You don't guess about a prescription. You got a bottle in the closet, in your medicine cabinet, and it doesn't have a label on it, and you guess that it's the medicine that you need to take. And say, you know, one pill bottle is as good as another, so I just take this. We don't do that when it comes to prescription. We don't do it when it comes to electricity. You know, I used to be an engineer. And one thing that you have to respect about those guys, when you see them, you know, in those trucks and working on the power line, they don't guess, you know, whether that line is energized or not. They guess. They can't make one mistake. And they don't get a chance to read it. Most of the time, they make that one mistake. It will cause them their life. One of the first things my boss taught me when I first started working was that Robert, I told him something. He asked me a question. I said, "Well, I think." And he stopped me in my face. He said, "No, no, Robert, you don't think. You know." Okay? And anytime the person tells them, they say, "I think," I stop at that point right there. And I want to get a little more information. And yes, when you're doing something very critical and serious, you don't want to be thinking. You want to know it, if it's a way to know it. But when it comes to religion, it is so strange to me that there are so many people in the world today that want to guess about what is right when it comes to their eternal salvation. Just take a guess with it. When you're dealing with the most important thing that you have, which is your soul. And you all hear me quote the verse all the time in Matthew 16:26, when Jesus said, "What is a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Knows his own soul. You're not losing somebody else's soul. It's your soul. That's the only thing that you have control over. You ain't got it. The rest of the things in life, most of the time, you don't have much control over it, like you think you do. You worry about things that we can't change and we can't fix anything. And so your soul is the most important thing that you have. It's worth more than the entire world. The soul of your children. We look at how we have children. Bring them into this world. Why would you bring a child into the world and you don't steer him correctly that he may have eternal life? You guessing about what the right thing to do. And I often tell y'all, that's one of the reasons I began to study the Bible when I had children. I realized, I said, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. All I'm doing is what they told me when I was coming up. And they didn't tell me a whole lot. All I do is go to church every 4th Sunday, go to Sunday school on Sunday morning, and you go live like you want to do. I knew that the life I was living, I said, it doesn't make sense that I can do these things. It's okay. But that's what the people tell you in religion, guessing about what is right. But I knew it was something wrong. And I said, I'm not going to rear my children and not know what I'm doing with regards to religion. That's one of the reasons I started studying the Bible. And I believe I did a good job of investigating the truth. And so we need to understand that when it comes to religion, we don't need to guess about it. We can know if we are saved. You don't have to be thinking anymore. I believe I'm saved. It's saved. You know, doesn't matter. All you got to do is do that. I believe I'm saved. You don't have to be like that. The Bible says you can know.
Amen.
Notice in 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And I'm going to show you some things before we finish this morning that you can look at and you can know right now whether you're saved. You don't have to guess about it. You look it up and you be sure about it when it comes to your eternal salvation. Notice in John 9:31, what the man said that was him. He said, "Now we know that God is not sinner." We know this. This is an established fact. "But if any man be a worshiper of God and do it his will, him he hear." And so he was relying upon scripture in the sense that he knew that God didn't hear in the sense that he doesn't answer. We know that God knows everything. When we want to see the truth, God probably answered it. We get people together. But when it comes to a person being in a covenant relationship where they can pray and get all the heavenly and the spiritual blessing, if one is not a Christian, God doesn't deal with them on that level. And so, I want to start out this morning by, first of all, looking at some who guessed in the Bible. Again, these are an old example for some of you, for some of you that may be new. But there are people in the Bible who have guessed in the past. And we know there were two sons of Aaron. You know Aaron and Moses, brother. And then Aaron had sons from Aaron's descendant, the Levitical priesthood, Cain. and they were the priests who were serving in the temple. And so Aaron, the two oldest boys, were sitting outside the temple. And Aaron and Moses had gone into the temple, and God had sent down fire from heaven inside the temple, and he had devoured the sacrifice there at the altar. And so Aaron's two sons were sitting down with the people. They were waiting for Aaron and Moses to come out. And they decided that, wow, this is something. God has come down and shown his greatness. And he's sent down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. We need to do something, you know. And so they got fire. They went and got fire from somewhere. But it wasn't the fire from the altar that God wanted to use. And they approached the door of the temple to get rid of their fire. And God sent down, hey, fire from heaven. Probably something like light. Consume them both. Kill the mystery. And the story there, when you read the account, I'm not going to go read it, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. The story there is presumptuous. They were guessing about it. Well, this would be a good idea. I think we can do something here. God done somewhere great. Let's show God how much we care. They were presumptuous. They assumed that God would accept it because they had a good intention. They were having the evil intention of what they were doing. And what God is doing in the Old Testament, he's giving us everlasting lessons so that we understand how God operates. And we'll understand that when it comes to God, it doesn't matter what our good intentions are. We can't assume, but we can't guess about what God wants us to do. It can cost us. And we have an eternal lesson there. Oh, but then God told Aaron, don't even mourn for him. He didn't mourn because he knew it. Because we can do the same thing that happened to you. What a sad scene. What a heartbreaking scene that must have been. But again, prodigal, he was guessing about it. And then there are people today when it comes to worshiping God. Colossians talks about that. These people, there are a lot of people, even in the day of the early New Testament, when God was being written, they were showing a type of will worship. They were doing things they wanted to do. But they were trying to say God wanted them to do it. It's a different will worship and true worship. We're going to know later on. They didn't understand that to obey is better than sacrifice, unless it is. Saul had the number. That is it. As far as we doing something that we think is great, God would rather we just do what he tells us to do first instead of trying to do something meritorious for him. Another example in the Old Testament. We've all looked at this before, but maybe some of us have. You know the story of how David decided he would go and get the ark and bring it home. And when David, when he got the ark, they got a brand new cart. And they got two oxen, and they put the ark on the cart, and the two oxen were pulling the cart home for David. And as they were pulling the cart, they got to a rough place in the road, and then the ark began to rock on the cart, and it looked like it was going to fall over. And more than likely, God would have let it fall over if it had, you know, kept rocking. But us, good man, good intention. He's walking to happy. David's happy. All the people just rejoicing because the ark is coming home. They're singing songs and walking along the side of the car. It's just a good time. And when the ark began to rock, Uzzah reached up to stabilize it so it wouldn't fall off the car. And when it reached up to stabilize it, he touched the ark, and then immediately it was struck down. And it was so shocking to David on that scene. I know the singing stopped, the oxen stopped rolling, everybody was in shock. David got angry about it. I mean, how in the world am I going to bring the ark back home then? If God's going to do this to anyone who touches it. So he took the ark somewhere else and gave it to someone else for a while. And everybody gave it to was blessed. But the point that we learned from Uzzah is that, again, Uzzah had good intention. But God had a law. If you look in the book of Exodus, Chronicles, and I have all the scripture here. If somebody wants them, I'll give them to you, or email them to me. But if you look in the law, in the book of Exodus, and you'll see that God has said that nobody was to touch the ark.
Amen.
The ark was to be carried by the priest. And what the priest would do, they would have a stave, a long rod, and they would stick to both sides of the ark. And they would pick the ark up and they put it on their shoulders. And they were to walk, and that's the way the ark was to be transported. It would not be transported on a cart. So here was David and us and all the people trying to do the right thing, guessing about the way to do it, because they didn't know no way they would have gone and got someone killed, because God had said if anybody had touched him, he was going to die. And so here they were guessing about the way it should be carried. And he called us this life. So when it comes to doing what God commands us to do, you know, we need to find out how he wants us to do it, when he wants us to do it, how long he wants us to do it, and how frequently he wants us to do it. We don't guess about when we ought to come to worship. So we got people that worship on Friday night. They think it's okay. They don't know that the Bible says it's the first day of the week when the Christians came together to worship. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And we can talk about a lot of things people don't have guessed about what pleases God, because in their mind, they don't understand how important it is. Then later on, David began to read. And then David understood it. And he said that the reason we had problems was because we didn't do it according to the due order. That is, we wasn't doing it the way God told us to do it. And that's why things went wrong. When he understood, then he brought it home the right way. Guess what? We never guess about it. We look it up. We know about Ananias and Sapphira. We're going to quickly go through them in the New Testament. Acts chapter 5. And they went out and sold some of their possessions. And he came back and they told Peter, you know, this is what we got for them. They kept back part of the money. They got together. And they made an agreement, the husband and the wife. You know, the husband and wife stick together, they can accomplish anything, right? But they make a mistake. You can't get by God sticking together. The husband and the wife or anybody else when they get together. Sometimes family people get together. They think because we stick together, some kind of way God is going to excuse them. You guess it. You guess it, and you guess it wrong. And so what did they do? They came in, they tried to lie to the Holy Spirit. Thought they could lie to God. Didn't work. The husband was struck dead. A few hours later, the wife came in and went along with the same story. She was struck dead, and they both were carried out. Guess it. When it comes to religion, you never guess about it. And look it up. And the thing we need to understand is, how does God want us to know what to do today? He's told us how he wants us to find out instead of guessing what he wants us to do. Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times, at different times in the Old Testament, and the divers man, dreams, miracles, he spoke to them through the cloud, different ways he did, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, and the last days spoken unto us by his son. And no more different ways to people at different times. It's all through his son, who he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You know, Jesus said later on that when you talk about listening to Jesus, we're talking about listening to his words. That's how he spoke to us. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits of nothing. Those what Jesus said, the words that I have spoken unto they are spirit, and they are life. You want to know what to do to have eternal life? You need to read the words that Jesus spoke that are in the Bible. We don't guess about it. We look it up when it comes to religion. Notice it. And John talked about how God wants us to know. You see, when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit into the world. We're not living in the age where the Holy Spirit is dealing with man. Jesus is in heaven. But we got to understand the Holy Spirit, again, is teaching us through words, through the Bible. He doesn't act on us miraculously, but he teaches us. Notice what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. But he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Then to the apostles. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall know it. Teach you all things. It's about teaching. It's not about getting it through some kind of miraculous experience, but we got to be taught and taught by the word. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Words, say it. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, brought me, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, and they shall be all taught of God. That's how God wants you to get today. We don't guess about it. We either read it, or somebody can teach it to us, or we can listen to it if we want to. But we got to be taught. Every man therefore that had heard that has learned of my Father, coming unto me. Now, we don't guess about it. We look it up. We learn it through our salvation. again, you got to understand that God not only want us to look it up and find out what he wants us to do, but most importantly, he wants us to be a doer of his will. He wants us to make the right decision, that when we hear the truth, that we are to discern it and apply it to our lives. Notice what he said in Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, one thing to hear is another thing to do. And that's what most people fail. I would liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock that is a solid foundation. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And so he's saying a wise person would build on solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You know that rock. Matthew 7, 46. And everyone, here we go, that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. And so, again, Jesus letting all of us know, for we're building a house. And if you build your spiritual house, you make sure we're building it upon the rock. Because it's going to determine whether we have eternal life or not. So we don't guess about it. We look it up and do what the Bible says. One thing about the early church, they obeyed when they heard the gospel. In Acts 2, remember what the Bible says about those Christians. Then they that gladly received his word. Gladly received his word. I mean, the Bible is a good news. It's good to know what God wants you to do. Amen. It's something to be happy about, to find out that I'm in the error, I'm going the wrong way, and this is the way I need to go. You know, it's good to get correct instruction or direction when you know or when you're going the wrong way. Maybe you don't know it, but when you find out, you know, it's good to have a good instruction. And they continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine. The word doctrine is teaching. See, again, you look it up. In fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. The Bible says about the Bereans, when we studied them a few nights ago, that they were Lord over, that those a special night, because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. That is when he heard the Bible, they were ready to do it. They could just got healed and then it became rebellious. We read about some people this morning in our Bible class that when they heard the word, the Bible said they opposed themselves and Paul taught. And basically they blasphemed against the word of God. So it's important that we don't blaspheme when we hear the word. We should receive it with a ready mind. Paul stated that he was not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1, 16. And then Peter lets us know that the gospel, when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about the word. Look, notice 1 Peter 1, 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. But when we preach the gospel is the word that Christ left. And a lot of people call themselves preaching a gospel, but they're not preaching the true gospel. That is the word according to the way Jesus gave them to us. We don't guess about it. When we come to the Bible, we look at things that we should not guess about. Number one, we don't need to guess about our salvation. We talked about that earlier in 1 John 5, 13, where John wrote, these things I wrote unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. I'm glad I can know today. Because sometimes when you start guessing, you start thinking, you begin to wonder, whether you are going right or not. But you need to know. Now, some people think that repeating something over and over makes it right, but that doesn't make something right. Somebody's told them, don't let anybody question your salvation. They told them, you saved, and they've told them something that's not in the Bible. And then, so they say, I know I'm saved. Nobody will take away my salvation and repeat it over and over. That's not going to make it right.
Amen.
You can't guess about it. You got to look it up. If you want to be saved, why would you guess about it when you're talking about your salvation? And so repeating it doesn't make it right. I hear this all the time. People, they repeat their mind, but it's not according to the Bible. See, the word is God's looking mirror for man. James 1, 22. James said, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. where he can hold it himself and know it his way, straight way to get it, what man or man he was. All of us, I'm gonna go on record, I'm gonna take a chance, I'm gonna say that all of us looked in the mirror this morning. We looked at ourselves and we got an image and we fixed ourselves up. But we don't quite remember exactly how everything was, where everything was in place. And when we get back home tonight, just today after church, we're probably gonna look again and see if my clothes are fitting right or whatever before you put them on. Because you kind of forget the way you look when you get away from the mirror. And what he said is God's word is like a mirror. If you don't look at God's word like David did, that word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. If you don't use the word of God exclusively for everything you do, if you start deviating and stop going back to it, you'll forget what God wants you to do. Find yourself guessing. And so when you look in the mirror, look at God's word, and God's word say that you're wrong or something's not right in your life, you know, you got to understand the word doesn't matter and mirrors don't matter.
Amen.
You know, you don't look in the mirror and then you say, that's a lying mirror. I mean, I tried it sometimes, but it doesn't work. And like I heard a guy say one time, you know, if you don't want to see an ugly face, you better not put one in front of the mirror. It's going to show you exactly what you put in front of it. Sometimes I look at him and I would say, we got a double mirror. I look at her in the mirror, I look at myself, I say, I'm not really that fat. I really look like I'm that old. Now, and I look over there, and I look in the mirror, and I look back, yeah. And it's telling the truth, it's not lying. Mirror don't lie, the word of God doesn't lie. It don't leave you breaking the mirror because you don't like what you see in the mirror. I said, I'd never look in the mirror again. Never look again, because it wouldn't show you. You wouldn't do that. You would go and try to fix it. You go and eat, right? You start, you know, lose weight, you know, change the clothes, whatever it takes, try to fix it, because the mirror is not going to change. God's word is not going to change. When we see something that we don't like, that doesn't line up with what we think, we have to change.
Amen.
The word of God should be changed. We never guess about it.
We look it up.
We don't guess about whether we are the church matters or not, to which we belong. But you know, a lot of people don't think that church, it really matters what church you go to, as long as you're sincere. And you want to please God. Not me believing. And I wouldn't say I believe, but I thought that once upon a time to some degree. But that's not in the Bible. That's guessing. Now, if it is the case that it doesn't matter what religion one is a member of, long as it's what church one goes to, as long as they say they're serving Christ, then it ought to be somewhere in the Bible. But no, it's contrary to what people say, what the Bible says. You know. See, you got to understand it. In Matthew 7:24, when we all look at this, Jesus says, you got to build on the rock. And if you're not building on the rock, then when the storm comes, you're going to be washed away. You got to understand, God is not pleased with everything that man does. Because man does and say he's doing it for the Lord. That doesn't mean the Lord is pleased with it. Notice Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, 15 rather, verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, notice God that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying. But he answered and said, everything which my heavenly Father has not planned shall be rooted up. You got to understand, if God didn't authorize it, if God didn't build it, God said, I'm going to root it up. Amen. It may happen, but I'm going to root it up. And the jury, let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both shall fall in the deep. That's how God feels about man's endeavor. We shouldn't guess about what is acceptable worship when it comes to worshiping God. You know, a lot of people in the world, they're guessing about it. Yeah. You know, as long as you pray, you know, as long as you go to the church and you make a joyful noise, the Lord just praying, it doesn't matter. You know, people got their way of doing it, got your way of doing it. And they really believe it doesn't matter. Not bad people. I'm not saying anybody's bad or evil, but somebody has made the world think that it's okay to guess about it. When it's right. So when it comes to religion, you got to look it up. John 4:20. Notice when Jesus was with the Samaritan woman, our father pushed from this mountain, and you say that in the roof of this place where me and I was pushed. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall meet in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. That's always been a big debate among men. Well, where is the right one? What is the right one? And this is what the Samaritan woman said. We got one way, And y'all say another way, Judas. What is the right way? Another way, Jesus said. But in verse 22, ye wish ye know not what. We know that we wish for salvation is up to you. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks to serve to worship him. Now know, if there's a true worshiper, then there must be a false worshiper. There must be some wrong way to do it, if it's a true way to do it. But he said, true worship gonna worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks to serve to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is sincerity and according to the word of God. The word of God is true. John 17:17. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he's coming, he will tell all things. It's kind of interesting when you read that. She read it, you can see it. She come see a man that told me, everything I've done, this must be the Messiah. And she had done a lot of things. And Jesus knew everything she had done. Conclusion. So this is family power. Think about all the things I've said. But you know, it's dangerous to get in the middle. Yeah. Hosea 4 verse 6. God wrote a long time ago, the Old Testament, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because I had rejected knowledge. Some people don't want to know. They don't want to know because if they study the Bible and get and see what the Bible says, it's going to go against what they want to do.
Amen.
But you don't understand that there's a judgment coming. And when we stand before the judgment, we don't want to be guessing about what we are right about. Like y'all hear me say all the time, if you get to the judgment, they still in your sin, you're going to have a big problem you ever had in your life.
Amen.
You think you have a problem now. You get to the judgment day, and that goes for me too. I'm working on it every day. But no, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I would also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, saying thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I would also reject thy children. Hosea 8, verse 20. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they are counted as strange things. And if they want to, they sacrifice flesh for the sacrifice of my offering. And he for the Lord accepted him now. Now, we are here to remember their iniquity and miss their sin. They shall return to him. In other words, they want to, with the consequences of not accepting and obeying his word. That's in the Old Testament. Now, I want to finish now. You know, we can know it. You don't have to guess about it. There are some things that you can know. Today. We can know that we have been taught correctly. John 6:44-45. The Bible says they should all be taught from God. Why is teaching important? Romans 10:17, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to believe based on how you were taught. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. No, you talk. You don't guess about what God wants you to do, what he wants you to do. You read it in the Bible. You can know today. See, these are things that you can know that you don't have to guess about. You know whether you've been taught the Bible correctly. And the faith that we have, we know whether it's based upon what the scriptures say, or what somebody said, or what I think, or what I'm guessing. We know that. We can know that we believe correctly. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you believe, you can know that today. You see how the gospel lives, how simple it is? You don't have to guess about it. I believe that Jesus Christ lived in this world. He died at the age of 33. And every time I look at the date on the calendar, we got to understand that we are confessing that Jesus lived because he changed time from B.C. to A.D. You know whether you believe that or not. We can know that. John 8:24. We can know that we have repented or not. Have you been living in sin? Doing something that was contrary to the will of God, and have you stopped doing it? That's something you can know. Acts 17:30-31. And we can know. I don't want to point fingers at you. I don't mean to be mean. But I can know they do. Acts 17:30-31. The time just says to God, we give not command every man, all men everywhere to do. We can know if we have confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Did somebody take your confession one day?
and ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You say, I do. We can know that. We can know whether we've been baptized in the water of days of baptism for the remission of sin. We don't have to guess about it. We can know it. Did somebody take your confession, take you to the water of grace of baptism, and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, they don't have to say it, but as long as they baptize you according to the authority, we can know it, whether we've done it. And I've done it. I remember I had to do it. I had done it incorrectly one time, but they didn't write. We don't have to guess about it. We don't have to guess about whether we are wearing the name of Christ. Acts 4 and verse 11 and 12. Neither is that salvation and any other, but there's not other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We can know whether we're wearing this name. We can know whether we're living faithfully or not. We can know that today. See, once we obey the gospel and become a Christian, then we just begin our journey. Then we got to live faithfully unto death. And you know, I repent. I get on my knees and I pray every morning, every night, sometimes going down the street. I'm always asking the Lord to forgive me. And perhaps it's something I've done that was wrong, and I didn't know I was doing it wrong. I asked the Lord to forgive me, but I don't want to stand before the judgment and say, not right.
Amen.
I want to try. Are you trying today? We can know whether we're living faithfully or not. And so, again, in conclusion, you never guess about it when you look it up. If you're here today and you want to be sure about your salvation, we're going to sing a song of encouragement and need to respond to people. So, why don't we stand?